Happy Friday, North Texas. I'm Scott.
And I'm Alicia.
And today is Friday, May 10th, and we are bringing you a very special episode.
That's right. We've got an extended interview with Dr. Neil Smaltresk as he wraps up his final semester as UNT's president before officially stepping down this summer. And he's bringing out some fun stories that y'all don't want to miss.
And?
And what?
Well, we normally have three segments.
Well, that's what makes this one a very special episode. It's all Neil, from beginning to end.
Okay, wow, that is special. But before we get to that extended interview, would you like to catch up, Alicia?
You know what? We should catch up.
Yeah, we should.
Scott, UNT's second annual Day of Giving was last week, and they're still counting up all the donations. But we already know we beat last year's number.
Yeah, that's so awesome. Way to go, Mean Green Nation. All those donations are going to make a huge difference for our students' success. And speaking of successful students, today happens to be the first day of Spring 2024 commencement ceremonies.
That's right. We want to give a big shout out to all our grads celebrating this weekend. We're so proud of you guys, and we can't wait to see everything y'all accomplish now that you've got your UNT degree under your belt.
That's right. And next episode is going to be a special Great Grads edition of the pod, where we'll feature a few of our newest alumni talking about the adversities they've overcome and their time at UNT. So we're really excited to share those stories with y'all next time around. In the meantime, we've got a guest joining us in the studio to set up today's special episode.
Indeed we do. Back in February, UNT's president announced that he would be resigning from the presidency this summer after leading the university for 10 years. So our very own Christiana Flores sat down with the man himself to talk about everything he and UNT have accomplished over the last decade and his plans and hopes for the future. Christiana, introduce yourself to the people.
Hi, everyone. My name is Christiana Flores, and I've worked at UNT for about a year and a half now as the Senior Communications Strategist for Presidential Communications. Obviously, I've worked pretty closely with President Smaltresk in that role, so even though I was really sad when he announced he would be resigning as president, I was really excited to get this chance to talk to him one-on-one about everything from his favorite UNT memories to his favorite food to who his favorite Batman is.
Ah, so I see you brought out the hard-hitting questions for this interview.
That's right. I am not afraid to ask the tough questions.
That's awesome. I can't wait to hear his thoughts on which Batman did it best. Christiana, the president has always been a big presence on campus, and we get to see what he's like at events and stuff. But what's it been like working with him behind the scenes?
It's been great. With Dr. Smaltresk, what you see is truly what you get. He's genuine, and he honestly cares about the students, faculty, and staff. I remember when I had my interview with him for this position, I honestly felt like I was at home having a conversation with a family member. We joked and we laughed, and any anxiety that I had about the position and working with him disappeared, and it's been a great relationship ever since. I'll definitely miss him, but I am so blessed to have had the opportunity to work for him. I'm really glad I got to do this interview with him too, and I hope you all enjoy it. All right. We all know that, sadly, that you're leaving the president's role. So what are you most looking forward to on August 2nd?
Well, on August 2nd, I'll be coming back from a vacation with the family.
Oh, nice.
We have all the grandchildren and our children at Lake Coeur d'Alene. It's one of the most beautiful lakes in the country.
Wow. Where's that at?
Up in Idaho.
Oh, wow.
And so we'll be, you know, out in pontoon boats, tubing and fishing and just having fun as a whole family.
That's awesome.
So when I come back on August 2nd, I'll be ready to hit the ground running in my new graduated state.
Awesome. And that's one of the questions I have. So we know that you mentioned going back to faculty. Do you know any more specifics on kind of what you'll do? Or are you still thinking about what your role will be or what you'll teach?
Well, our provost and VP for research, Mike and Pam, are still kind of polishing out the fine details, but it looks like initially I'll be preparing to get back in my faculty role, learning all those things I have no idea about, like faculty information system and all the rules and regulations for being a faculty member, how to use Canvas and navigate. So the part of it will be learning again the modern technology that we use.
Right.
Part of it will be working innovation and commercialization. Right now, we're short-staffed in that area. It's a big push on a national level. Mm-hmm. We don't commercialize and do technology transfer as good as we could.
Right.
Something I wish I would have spent more effort on. So I'm going to roll up my shirt sleeves and start working with people to start small businesses and to build more licenses and patenting and so forth.
That's awesome. Small businesses are important, so that's wonderful. I'm sure you'll be a long line for your class, probably a wait list. All right, so going back to your family, how does your family feel about your UNT fame when they see everything, you know, going on, all the articles and things about you? What do they think about it? Do they see you as famous, or they're like, oh, that's just Grandpa Neil?
A little of both. Yeah. You know, I think they recognize that, you know, being a president is the position, but of importance. And that because of that, I have to do a lot of things that they get to, you know, enjoy, like going to football games or basketball games,
right,
or certain events that we have. But really, to them, I'm dad or I'm grandpa. And the kids don't quite absorb all that. All they know is every once in a while they get to meet Scrappy.
That's awesome. All right. So speaking, going back to, you know, UNT, what's one thing that you're most proud of during your time, if you could think of one, just one thing? There's a lot, I know.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many things that are achievements, but they're all done with the team.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you look at Frisco or becoming HSI or becoming Tier 1, but the thing that I'm probably most proud of is that we've established a strategy for how we care as a campus. And that caring is making sure we kept tuition down and kept it affordable to mm-hmm. come to school here, making sure that we were really emphasizing student success and how to take care of, like, first generation and our minority-majority population and career and professional development. Those are the pillars that I think we've built the university around, and they're embodiments of what it means to care and be a student-centered campus. So that culture is something that I really value.
Yeah, definitely. And I can, you know, not being an alum or not being from here, I can feel it too. So that's definitely something to be proud of. And then on the flip side, you know, what's one thing that you wish that you could have done differently or better, perhaps, during your time?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things that are still works in progress that we haven't really done as well as we could. I wish we could have had more residence halls because it really matters, especially when you look at rents in Denton. I think the other thing is something that I mentioned to you earlier when we were talking. We have really grown our research, and I wish I could have done it a little faster, a little harder, but we just didn't have the resources for it.
Mm-hmm.
Now the table's set. We've got a new STEM building coming in. We're going to finish a renovation of SRB. We're probably going to be doing some other renos out around Discovery Park that'll really expand our research capabilities. So whoever comes in next is going to have a great opportunity to really grow funded research. But what we don't do very well is take that research and move it into the community in the form of licenses and corporate interactions and commercialization. So it's something I wish we'd done better.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I want to take a personal hand in as I step down into a faculty role.
Right. All right. So, you know, going back to your family, I kind of know the reason, you know, a little bit of the reason why you chose to come to UNT and Denton was your family. So can you tell me a little more? Can you tell the audience a little bit more about them and what was the, you know, what was their involvement in getting you to become a UNT?
Well, there's a fun story. when I was being asked about this job and interviewed, we had just experienced the birth of our first grandchild, Sydney.
Oh.
And you know, it was special for us. The first grandkid's always, you know, the one that sets the bar.
Right.
Sydney was born about 3 months before I accepted this job. And we, you know, the pull to come back to Texas was really strong.
I bet.
So when they called and said, yeah, would you be interested in this position? I went, yes.
Yeah.
Well, and there's even a big story there, which is pretty funny, but we can do that later. So as we accepted the job, there was a big article in the Las Vegas newspaper with a picture of baby Sydney saying why a three-month-old is causing us to lose our president.
Oh, no. So she got a bad rep right off the bat, huh? Oh. But so now Sydney's got to be, she's 10 now, right?
Yeah.
And you've got four more grandkids that came after, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
so it's
awesome.
Great.
It's
two of them live up in the Tacoma area in Gig Harbor, and three of them are in Argyle, 10 minutes away. So
okay.
We get to see them every week, sometimes multiple times a week.
Nice. Going back to, well, this is more Denton, since we're on the the track of Denton. You're well-traveled. You've worked in many different states, of course. What is so special? What makes Texas special, specifically Denton, to you?
Well, I've lived longer in Texas than anywhere. The first time I lived in Texas, I moved from Buffalo to Austin to be a PhD student, and then ultimately to the Port Aransas Marine Labs, which I loved. They were wonderful, wonderful times for my wife and I. Mm. From there, we moved back up to the University of Pennsylvania School of Medicine for a postdoc, and then back down to UT Arlington for 23 years.
Oh, wow.
University of Hawaii for a few years, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and then the pull back to Texas. So all told, I've lived in Texas, I guess, about 40 years.
Oh, wow.
So that might not be quite right, but it's pretty close, longer than any other place.
Right.
Love the people. Love the warmth, and of course, Texas is, you know, way cheaper than Vegas or, you know, like the California kind
right.
of places.
Right, and Hawaii, I imagine.
Yeah, oh, way cheaper than Hawaii was.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's the people and the friends that we had here, and I'll say that's still true today. We aren't planning on moving anywhere.
Oh, that's good. Good to hear. Well, I always wondered, too, and I think you spoke about this in the previous conversations, what in the world made you leave Hawaii?
Hawaii really is paradise.
Yeah.
So let's be clear.
Right.
You know, my friends would call me up and they'd say, well, what's it like in Hawaii? And I'd say, perfect. You know, it'd rain a little in the morning, it'd rain a little in the afternoon. I'd get up in the morning and there'd be clouds pouring over the ridges from the windward side of the island, you know, almost like waterfalls.
Oh,
and
geez.
In the afternoon, there'd be rainbows and sometimes double rainbows.
Wow.
I mean, it's truly remarkable.
Yeah.
The temperature was never colder than 65 and rarely warmer than 85,
wow.
although I hear it's a little warmer now because of climate change.
Right.
Every day was beautiful. I was about, I don't know, 5-8 minutes from the beach. It was closer to the beach than it is from the university to my house.
Wow. And you surfed too, right?
Yeah, I loved, and that's what I thought, I was a surfer. Yeah, so I'd go out and I had a, you know, big old surfboard and I'd strap it on top of my little Honda CRV and I'd head out to where the big waves were. And A, the big waves are scary.
Yeah,
okay?
They look like
and
it.
And B, when I saw the Hawaiian surfing, I went, I am not a board surfer. They were really, really good.
Yeah.
And so I began body surfing, and I loved body surfing. And there's great body surfing beaches, beaches where they're not good for board surfing, like Sandy Beach. There's a joy to just you and the water and the wave that I can't describe. It's a visceral feeling, and I would go back every single time I could and do it again.
Right, yeah.
As far as Hawaii goes, it was probably the deepest, richest learning experience of my life.
Mm-hmm.
I got to find out what it meant to live in a pluricultural environment. Japanese, Chinese, Samoan, Hawaiian, Haole. We were Haoles. And maybe most importantly, I learned a great deal about trust and networking. The networks there were very important in how the state was run. There was the Coconut Wireless, which was all the female administrative staff, and I don't want to say female in a totally gender-biased way, but that's what it was. And then the Samurai Network, which was the governmental administrative staff. And between those two networks, if you didn't know how to get along, you couldn't get anything done.
Yeah.
So it taught me a certain cultural humility in how I engaged, and it taught me that you don't get anything unless you are a good networker.
Right. Samurai sounds pretty intense, too. A little intimidating.
It was intense. When I left, they made me an honorary samurai network.
Oh, nice. Did you get
member.
A sword or anything?
They gave me a little samurai
really?
Statue. Yeah,
that's
it was pretty
awesome.
Cool.
That's very cool.
But it was a great experience, and I loved it. But in some ways, the turnover there was really high, and it was somewhat of a frustrating work environment. And they tried to get me back multiple times to be either chancellor or president. And I was like, I'm in a good place now in Vegas. This is okay. Thank you. But yeah, it was good to move back to the mainland, and Vegas was an incredible gig.
Right. Was your wife upset when you left Hawaii, though?
No, we were closer to the children.
Oh, good. Okay.
Although, I'll tell you, when you live in either Vegas or Hawaii, they visit you all the time.
I bet,
everybody
was
visiting.
You'd be able to visit family and go on vacations.
That's right.
All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about career readiness. You've been a big proponent. We spoke about that a little bit for students, especially our first gen and our underrepresented population. So in your time, we've had, you know, the Career Center, the main Career Center in Denton, and then we've had two new Career Centers open, the Wilson Jones Career Center at the G. Brent Ryan College of Business, and then also the Gupta Career Center at Frisco. So what do you think in terms of that the next president should focus on to continue that and keep up with this workforce that is so dynamic and so kind of unknown in the future?
Well, there are several elements that really drove me to this. First, our campus is 40% first gen. And with a big first gen population, you have to do some more things because they don't necessarily come from familial backgrounds that know how to direct them to what the most current careers are.
Right.
That was a big driver. Even the simple things like how you write a resume, how you interview for a job, how you write a cover letter are things that are somewhat alien and not often taught in a lot of universities. So I had resolved that we were going to make sure our students had access to that and were pushed in that direction so that they could achieve more, especially in that first big job after college.
Right.
Although many of our students are working, have internships, and have jobs before they get to college. And that was another part of this, networking, internships, knowing how to negotiate salaries. All of that's important.
Right.
But what I'd say is the future of work is evolving rapidly. COVID was one of the evolvers. Mm-hmm. Flexible work, remote work, people working more and more using technological assists. I mean, AI is going to be huge. Mm-hmm. Data analytics. Huge. There's so many rapidly changing components to the job market now that while we give a great basic education, we also have to make people aware of where the world's moving and changing.
Right.
And I would say that's especially difficult because universities kind of teach the same way they've taught for like the last 300 or 400 years.
Yeah.
no kidding. Right. Maybe 1,000 years. You know, we stand up and profess and teach cognate areas.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't really necessarily teach the fastest moving societal changes.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine anybody in a modern university, especially a mega university like UNT, who doesn't want and wouldn't want to make sure that we're paying close attention to the regional economy, to the demands of the job market, to what drives Texas as a state to being the 8th largest economy in the world,
right,
and make sure that our students have every advantage going forward. And I got to say, that's one of the things I am most proud of.
Yeah.
That was trying to really systematize career and professional development for every student.
Yeah.
Doing it at scale is not something that I've heard of in any really large university.
Yeah. So going back to some personal things, so we talked a little bit about surfing and some of your hobbies. So what are some of your other hobbies that you do in all of the free time that you have?
You know, I used to have a lot of hobbies, and I have to say that job of being an administrator is all-consuming.
Yeah.
It kind of takes over your life, and not always in good ways.
Right.
You know. I'm a swimmer. And I still love swimming.
Mm-hmm.
I was an avid photographer and was a photo minor in college.
Mm-hmm.
And I still love photography. I just don't, to do it well takes hours.
Right.
And you have to learn all the new technology, all the Adobes and everything,
yeah.
Which you are all so good at here. So at some point, I'll probably go back and reteach myself modern photography and how to use the tools that are available.
Mm-hmm.
But I have some pretty fancy cameras and some really long lenses. And so, yeah, going out and getting a little bit more immersed in that would be fun.
Right.
I love cooking.
I love cooking.
I'm not all that great at it, but I certainly don't mind experimenting and trying new recipes and, Sunday dinners with the kids.
Mm.
So, and travel, of course, is, I'm not sure it's fair to call that a hobby. It's just everybody loves to travel.
Oh, yeah.
So those are some of the things that I like the most.
Right.
And I'm a tinkerer. You know, I grew up working construction, and so, you know, I have a kind of a handyman background.
Yes.
But those are all things that I enjoy. And the question is, once you've stopped having a lot of hobbies, what do you get back?
Right.
You know, you have to practice your hobbies for them to become a meaningful part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to maybe make some time and
Right.
Start getting my toes wet
yeah.
with new hobbies. But yeah. I'll always do some of them.
Right. I know you'll continue to be busy as faculty, but hopefully you'll have some more time to get the, back into the things that you love. So speaking of making food or cooking, what is your favorite thing to make? Do you have any secret recipes to share? Any tips or tricks? We know we talked about your chili recipes.
Yeah, I do love my chili recipe. It's well received by the family. I love Asian cooking.
Mm.
And I love regular, you know, kind of everyday cooking, the kind of stuff, you know, we did a backyard barbecue for the kids' birthdays yesterday.
Oh, fun.
And that was really fun. But yeah, Asian cooking's my favorite for sure. And right now I want to make soup dumplings because they're awesome. I am really fond of soups. Like I make pho and ramen on a regular basis.
Yeah.
I like stir fries. I like Korean style, Japanese style, Chinese style, Thai style. I make Thai style curries. So,
wow.
you know, those are all fun.
Yeah.
And of course, the good thing about cooking, why it's a hobby that I can still do as president,
right,
is that it's short.
Yeah.
You know, it has a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Right.
And you can get it done in a day.
Right. It's not a 6-week long project.
Or a 6-year long project.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, there's so many things in higher ed that you do as a leader that seem to never end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, retention. It's a continuous effort.
Right.
It isn't something that you go, yep, we did that today and we can stop.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so many loose ends in life that being able to do something that's complete and perfect in and of itself
right.
is very satisfying and gives you a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah, definitely. Now, so at home, I know you probably don't cook a lot during the week and while you're, you know, busy, does Debbie cook or does she appreciate, you know, when you can get in there and help her in the kitchen or how
yeah,
does that dynamic
Debbie,
work?
Debbie will cook sometimes,
oh, yeah?
But yeah, we eat out more than we ought to. And she and I just talked, we've resolved to try to eat more healthy now.
Yeah.
Because when you eat out, you don't eat so healthy.
Right. Well, that's good that you guys can maybe cook some more. All right. So going back to, you know, UNT focus, the students obviously are, you know, the reason we're all here. So what have you learned in your time here from the UNT students?
What I've learned that's most important is that the student of today is no different than the students 20 years ago, 40 years ago, 60 years ago. And people talk about Gen Z and millennials and Gen Alphas and all the different generations. And yes, they do engage the world differently.
Right.
But why are they here?
Yeah.
They're all here for the same reason.
Mm-hmm.
They're all here to make a difference in their lives, to learn something that can carry them through and give them the skills that they need, and to change the world.
Right.
And I don't think that's changed. So I try to stick to the core, recognizing that each one of these generations wants to engage the world slightly differently. But the students are the secret energy that fuels me through a rough day.
Yeah.
I've always said a bad day with students is better than a good day with meetings or Board of Regents meetings.
You know? Right.
Talking to them and hearing their hopes and dreams, the problems and challenges that they're facing is something that always motivates me.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, speaking on what have you learned from students, what have you learned from the staff and the faculty too at UNT?
Well, it's really timely that you asked that. We've been on a series of listening tours, which you know.
Yes.
And we've had a lot of them. I think we're like up to 70 some or getting by the time we're done. The thing that I know is that they're here because they care about our mission and what we do.
Right.
And they care about the people they work with every day.
Yeah.
And so that caring attribute of our campus is the thing that I cherish more than anything. And it's not perfect. It's never going to be perfect, I don't think. But when I hear people say, I come to work because of the people I work with and because of what we do to change the lives of our students.
Right.
That's really, that touches my heart.
Yeah.
And I believe it's true. It's way more true here than any place I've ever been. And I hear people go, well, are we really caring? Everybody says that. Well, I've been to, let me think, Gettysburg College, University of Buffalo, University of Texas at Austin, University of Pennsylvania, University of Texas at Arlington, University of Hawaii, University of Nevada, Las Vegas, and here.
Right.
So that's 8 different institutions. It's so powerful and profound here compared to any of those other places,
yeah,
that I want us to build on that.
Right.
And really dig in to what it means to treat people as individuals and to listen to them and to honor and respect their wishes mm-hmm. and to help them achieve their goals. Yeah. And I hear from our faculty and staff the same thing. That's what they're here for. You know, when you change people's lives and you get to interact with them like we do,
right.
it really has a deep effect. And I think you don't want to do other things.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's one thing that you mentioned listening tours, every single one mentioned about what they love is the people. And so then that's something that, you know, I can attest to too. We just had our staff picnic for UBSC, and we just had a great time. And it's just, you know, and being with the people that have this, you know, united mission about the, you know, UNT and the students, but we also care about each other. So it's great. Yeah.
It's the connector.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So talking again about food, because I haven't had my breakfast yet, so I'm hungry. What's your favorite place to eat in Denton or in North Texas and Texas in general? Do you have some like secret spots that you can share, or maybe you don't want to share because you don't want to
be popular? No, I have a few. I love Vietnamese food. Mm-hmm. And so I love Pho One and I love Pho Asia Star.
Okay.
Both make really great pho, but they also make great banh mi. Thịt nung and the egg rolls and the spring rolls, summer rolls are so good. And that also inspires me. That's why I've learned to cook a lot of that.
Yeah.
I like Mi Casita. It's a great little Mexican restaurant. It's your classic Tex-Mex, and it always delivers.
Is that in Denton?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, there's other great Mexican restaurants in Denton, Guanajuato and some others, but the hole-in-the-wall places.
Mm-hmm. Those are the
I
best.
Love them. Yeah. As far as other types of food around the area, I like 407 Barbecue and a few others, but, I'll say I'm on the proverbial seafood diet. I see food and I eat it. And I like different foods. Yeah. I like things that really push the borders and the boundaries a little bit.
Yeah. You watch a lot of cooking shows, I imagine, too, to get some inspiration.
Love cooking shows. Yeah. Cooking shows are my empty calories of the brain.
Right. All right. So let's see. This is a fun one. Is Debbie looking forward to you having some more free time, or is she like, oh, man?
Yeah, I don't know. It's a little scary. I think she's looking forward to me stepping away from some of the demands mm-hmm. of the university.
Right.
This may sound a little odd to you, but I've been in a leadership position for about a president for about 15 years mm-hmm. and leadership positions for, gosh, since 2004. Mm. So 20 years. Mm-hmm. When I went to University of Hawaii. If you are a responsible person or if you're accountable to those you serve, mm-hmm. you feel that pressure.
Right.
And leadership takes a lot out of you, even if you don't show it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm at the point where I think being able to back a little bit away from that and still have energy to do things I want will be good for me.
Right.
And I also think it'll create a little more time. I know Debbie and I want to travel more.
Yeah.
I want to see the grandkids more, and especially the ones up in the state of Washington.
Mm-hmm.
And being able to, as I begin to push the ripe old age of 73 here in a little bit, relax a little and enjoy the fruits of our labor.
Right, right. Well, speaking of your age, there's one question that you seem to be in really great health. I know you mentioned swimming. How do you take care of yourself? Do you have a fitness routine that you can share? And what's your secret to aging well?
Yeah, well, I'm not sure I've aged well.
I think you have.
I certainly would like to lose a few pounds. Okay, I think I joined like 90% of the world in that wish. Someday I'll get to that. And I think part of that will be eating more healthy because I'm cooking at home and not getting takeout and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I have high blood pressure. And I think I can say, everyone would understand why I'd have high blood pressure.
So
I'm
just
on
a little.
Some meds for that. But, I swim a little and I try to enjoy life as much as possible.
Yeah.
And I try to keep a good mental attitude. I'm an optimist.
Yeah.
And I think all of that together is what's powered me through this and that belief in what we do. But I'm not, you know, I'm not a workout nut. I don't have a particularly great diet. So I'm not sure I'm the best person to go to for health advice.
You want to get a Peloton and join me on the leaderboard on the bike?
Yeah, no. Not at all. I will say that I come from a long-lived stock.
Mm.
You know, my mother's 95.
Oh, yeah.
Her mother and father lived to 99 and 100, respectively.
Right.
So I'm kind of pulling on the genetics carry me through.
Right. That's awesome. All right. So, thinking about all of the moments that have happened on campus, not just, you know, the accomplishments, you know, just thinking about the events, what has stuck with you in the 10 years you've been at UNT as the most memorable? What kind of event or moment on campus do you remember the most?
Well, I mean, just pulling off last year, the winning the NIT was so cool.
Yeah.
And it was just amazing. I mean, we were all like goosebumps
sitting
on the edge of our seats.
Yeah.
You know, it was really a wonderful, wonderful experience. And being in Vegas to do it also was a little bit of a homecoming for me. But there's so many events I look at that were, by the way, let's tell a funny story here. The first event I ever went to, I had been named president here in December, early in December, and I was going through my time where they announced me on campus and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And we had, at UN, I was still president at UNLV. I wasn't officially president here yet. I'd just been named the next president.
Oh, okay.
And so right about 4 days after I got named publicly, it was announced that UNLV would play UNT in the Heart of Dallas Bowl.
Oh, no.
And I was like, wow, what are the odds of that happening? So I'm going to be incoming president of the one school and outgoing president of the other.
Right.
And ESPN calls. They go, well, we're going to have you do the coin flip, and you need to wear a red and green striped tie.
Oh, no.
So I got a red and green striped tie. We did the coin flip. And, of course, as everyone knows, UNT won.
Oh, yeah.
And while it was sad because you have to represent the people who are writing your paycheck, it was also a really happy moment.
Yeah.
And one of the funniest parts of it was there was a student who was down in the stands as we were leaving. And the student had a sign. And the sign said, "We beat your team, we stole your present." So
it was a double whammy.
Yeah, that was pretty great. But I remember when it was, I mean, there's so many highlights. The first, when it was announced that we'd become Tier 1, it was kind of like, yeah, everybody was crazy about that. When we became HSI, it was such a big deal. We've had some wonderful legislative moments, like we got the Tough in the last session, and that's going to have a really big impact on the funding at this university.
Yeah.
You know, you look back at those kinds of moments, and they all stand out as kind of the capstone of a lot of hard work by the team to get us to where we were. So, yeah, and of course, last year, becoming the third largest school in Texas
was
kind of sweet.
Yeah, that was top three.
Beating University of Houston, kind of sweet.
All right.
So, yeah, they're just moments, and really, it's all one journey, but along the way, there's a few stops you make, you know, and celebrate. And so there were many celebration points.
Yeah. And I know that you're coming up, we're coming up on commencement already, and this, you've been through many, and this will be the last one as president. Are you getting a bit emotional? How are you feeling about this?
I am. Yeah. Every event now seems like this is the last one.
Right.
And, you know, whether it's a staff sack lunch, or whether it's Appreciation Day or this upcoming Friday, Faculty Appreciation Day, you know, where we recognize faculty, faculty recognition is so important.
Right.
As the last one of every one of these, it's a little bittersweet.
Yeah.
You know, I'm glad I'm moving on, but I'm going to miss the events. And, you know, I don't know. It's going to be kind of weird, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, they'll be having all these award ceremonies, and I won't be part of them. It'll be like, hey, what's happened
to you?
So I don't know. It's going to be fun to see how I engage not being the president.
Right.
And I have a little anxiety over it.
Yeah. And it is bittersweet for sure, because I'm very happy that you're, you know, moving on and you're going to do some things that you love. But I will tell you that I will miss you. So a lot.
Well, the everyday thing, the people that I get to work with and see every day, you know, whether it's my office staff or the cabinet or the faculty and deans, I've loved the connection that we've had. I've loved how we've achieved together. I give every credit for success to the team. And the failures, I'll own the failures.
All right. So speaking of campus, I know there's a lot of cool spots on campus. Do you have a favorite, one that you kind of maybe like to hide away and go and get away from the world, or just that you go to have fun on campus? Either, you know, Frisco, is, of course, is a really cool campus.
I love Frisco.
Yeah, it's very
nice. I really love Frisco campus. I want it. I want to fill it up faster.
Right.
And again, I'm going to say we need a residence hall out there to really make Frisco fly.
Yeah.
But it's just so beautiful
it
out
is.
There. And the view is so wonderful that every time I go out there, it's like, this was an idea.
Right.
And now the idea is a reality.
Yeah. And it was a deal on a handshake deal kind of thing, too, that came about.
It was. It was pretty funny. Mayor Masso and Jeff Cheney. Mayor Masso had just stopped being the mayor of Frisco, and Jeff Cheney just started. And we were in a meeting, and I remember the first thing I said was, what the hell are we doing here today? Which Mayor Masso remembers and loves to tease me about. And at the end of the meeting, we all decided that Frisco needed and wanted a major university to be in Frisco. And so we did a handshake deal, and the handshake deal led to us getting 100 acres of land from the city of Frisco with options on 50 more to put up the facility. Also, along the way, allowed us to buy Inspire Park, and that was a great facility for us too. So that was fun and very memorable. So yes, of course, that spot's the spot I love. As far as the campus goes, I will say I love the Onsted Promenade. I love the fountain area and the mall area. Every morning as I walk into Hurley Hall, I look out the big windows there by the grand staircase. And the way the sun hits the fountain is just inspiring. And I don't know if someone planned it, but it couldn't have been better.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
So, I really enjoy that as part of the outdoor areas that resonate with me.
Right.
But there's so many beautiful spots around campus. There's so many pretty buildings. To refresh myself, I will just go outside and walk around and talk with students. And so that's one of my favorite things to do. Another spot I like is our student union. It's whenever I go in there, it's just so full of life.
There's a lot of energy.
There's a ton of energy. And it's almost like you can read the hopes and dreams of our students just by walking through
it. Yeah, or overhearing conversations about what they're talking about.
Yeah.
I love the union too. And it's good food too. And speaking of the food too, the dining at UNT, you know, it's amazing. So this is something that, you know, number one college food in the country, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've proven it now every way you can.
Yeah.
Eagle Landing is kind of the pièce de résistance to this whole thing. It's great and so good. The students go there. We need to start spreading our dining out to the other dining halls. But the vegan food at Mean Greens, which is going to be moved to Kerr Hall because it's so popular now. The allergen-free, the fact that we grow two-thirds of our greens hydroponically, organically, that we make all of our own baked goods organically every morning. I mean, oh my goodness, being self-operated with a great staff of people working under Danny Armitage has led this university to, I think, something incredibly important. And part of the reason we've grown so fast. Good food.
Yes.
And creating spaces where students just don't go to quick grab a bite of unhealthy food and go, where they socialize and interact, and where those lifelong webs of friendship and bonds form.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and we love Eagle Landing. I take my girls there. They think it's the coolest thing that they can just go up and get as many brownies or whatever from Clark. Like, can we get more?
Clark Bakery.
Yeah, I'm like, well, you have to eat some healthy food too. So speaking of my children or the children of the future, what do you hope? What are your hopes and dreams for UNT for the future generations? For my kids, for your grandkids, if they attend here, what do you hope it looks like?
It is a really serious question, actually. I mean, we've been through some things.
Yeah.
COVID.
Yes.
And our university came through, I think, better than an awful lot of universities did. Our enrollment continued to grow.
That's amazing.
And yet, when I look at COVID, it really hurt the learning outcomes of our students.
Yeah.
So we're seeing students who are unprepared for math, unprepared in language, who, because they were remote, don't actually know how to engage learning, their accountabilities, how to interact in classrooms, even how to socialize in some cases. So on the negative side, we have to figure out how to deal with that. And, and I think we're really working on it. It's important because we can't just say, well, there's a generation of students and we'll just ignore them and see how that goes. You know, the world has to keep moving and they need to be able to contribute in a valuable way.
Right.
But that's our job.
Yeah.
Our job is helping students find a path and then learning how they can contribute to the broader good of our region.
Yeah.
And so I don't, again, I don't think that'll change in 5 years or 10 years or 40 years. I think what will change is the specifics we use to get them there, the technology that we use to assist them, and the types of jobs that they'll be engaging. But in general, I'm so optimistic for the future. And I think that the students we see coming through now are going to face a future that's radically different than the future that we face, especially areas like climate change and global strife and the rise of autocracies.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of problems to solve.
Right.
I'd like to see us really move in the direction of being global problem solvers.
That's awesome. I'm optimistic too, and I think the caring nature of this university will continue. That's, you know, something that I think it's ingrained into our, you know, fiber. So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Right. So one thing that, you know, I and everybody who's had the privilege of working with you and getting to know you is that you have a very caring nature. Speaking of that, where does that stem from? And just, you know, I see you with students and just interacting, and you seem, you're genuinely caring about the people that you work with. Where does that come from? It's just not something that you can make up and fake.
I think I've had it all along. It's certainly been part of my academic career from the beginning.
Yeah.
I when you see people who you know have ability, and all they need is a little push or a little support or a little nudge, it's hard not to give it to them. So I've always wanted to see the students I've worked with succeed and learn how to overcome obstacles in order to be successful. That's one thing I do care about. You know, it's hard to say to any student, no, I'm not going to help you.
Right.
So the opposite of that is, how do you help as many students as you can to achieve at a high level? So, I now that you say that, I think part of it stems from the passion I had for learning myself.
Yeah.
I loved learning new things, and then I loved sharing that with the world around us. So I think it's just an extension. If you care a lot about learning, then you care that the people who are in your classes also learn and achieve.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any, so you mentioned the funny story with UNLV and UNT at the game. Do you have any other funny stories that you'd like to share with our podcast audience?
Yeah,
that,
I do.
Okay.
Okay, and this one's the funniest, okay? Because it's not a story that most people know. I was at University of Hawaii. I was the vice chancellor, which is like the provost for academic affairs there. And I got a call from a headhunter. In fact, the same headhunter who's doing the search for the position now, Al Pimentel. And he goes, Neil, you're at University of Hawaii. You've done really well there. We'd love to see if you're interested in the presidency at the University of North Texas. And I thought about it. You know, my son was still living in Arlington, and we had a house here still. And I was like, yeah, sure. So I went and I interviewed for the job, interviewed Board of Regents. C. Dan Smith and others were on the board at that time, and interviewed some other groups. And everyone went, wow, you know, Neil could do a good job for us. And I was kind of the last man standing.
Oh, wow.
And then I met the chancellor. And my wife and I were there. We were supposed to have lunch with the chancellor. And he basically said, I'm really busy, don't have time, see ya.
Not very welcoming.
Yeah. And my wife said, you did not get that job. And I said, you are right. So we went back to Hawaii, you know, kind of shrugged our shoulders. And he called us back again, did another round. And he goes, I'm not going to hire you.
Hmm.
I went, huh, okay. Well, yeah, I'd learn. If it's not meant to be, it's not meant to be.
Yeah.
I wasn't, you know, I was in a great gig.
Mm-hmm.
So that was okay. So I'm now at University of Nevada, Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I might be provost or brand new president. I think I'm provost.
Mm-hmm.
And I get another call saying, okay, we're doing a search again. You know, we really want you in the search. I said, okay, well, you know, let me know what's going on.
Yeah.
And they never called back.
Oh, gosh. Got ghosted.
So I'm like, what am I, chopped liver?
Yeah, you know? Really.
Yeah, I got ghosted, completely ghosted. And so now I'm president at UNLV.
Mm-hmm.
And I get another call from Al, and I hung up. And he calls me again, and I hung up. And he calls me again and goes, don't hang up, don't hang up. And I'm like, what do you think, I'm stupid?
Yeah.
I mean, God, you guys have burned me twice.
Right.
Why are you even calling me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I said, he goes, no, we really want you. The chancellor, same chancellor, Lee Jackson, really wants you. And I'm like, well, if he really wants me, have him call me right now and tell me I got the job.
Well.
Because I've got a good job here.
Yeah.
And he did.
Oh, wow.
And so that's kind of how that went.
Yeah,
it's
funny.
To me, it's a hilarious story.
Yeah.
And it just shows you the vagaries of how things go. But at that point, when I came in, there had been 6 presidents in a 12-year span.
Oh, wow. That's
a
lot.
Go back to, like, I think Hurley. Okay.
Yeah.
So, they needed stability, and they needed someone who had experience.
Right. Good track record.
And so, you know, I guess I can say, I've offered 10 years of stability and progress.
Yeah.
And really, again, it's the team that does the work, but having a team with the same vision and leadership in place for an extended period of time is where universities make their greatest progress.
Right.
And so I'm glad I said yes.
Yeah, me too.
And things worked out really well.
Yeah, it's all about the timing too. You know, like you said, if it's not meant to be, then it just had to wait a little bit. So. All right. So I think I have asked all the questions, but I have a fun thing that I didn't actually share with you before the interview that I'm hoping that you'll be game for. It's called rapid fire. And so first thing that comes to your mind when I ask these questions. So favorite color.
Yeah, you're not going to like this one.
Uh-oh. Not green?
Yeah, green and blue.
Oh, blue. Okay. All right. Blue's a good color. What is your favorite song?
Wow.
Or artist?
You know, I don't know if I have a favorite song.
Hmm. Is it our fight song?
I love our, you know what? This is the only school where I've actually learned the alma mater.
Oh, yeah.
So I love our alma mater,
yes.
And I love our fight song. I won't say no, but I guess I have to say it has to be an Eagles song.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So your genre of music is rock?
Kind
yeah. Of, yeah. Classic rock?
I would say classic rock,
yeah.
You know.
That's
love
good.
The Beatles. I mean, maybe single favorite song of all time would be Blackbird
by
the Beatles.
I love
that song so much. But there's so many great songs out there that
is.
It's hard to just pick one and say that's what you're going with.
Right. And Eagles, too. Yeah, we got an alumni, too, so got a good connection. So, all right, favorite movie. This might even be harder because there's so many movies, too.
If I were to give you, like, the more highbrow answer, I'd say it was like The Shawshank Redemption or something.
Which is good.
But actually, it's Princess Bride.
Oh, yes. I love it.
I have to admit, I also love the very first Star Wars.
Yes.
It, like, blew my mind when I saw it.
I know that you're well-read, so do you have a favorite book?
I have a lot of favorite books.
Mm-hmm.
Someone once asked me what one of my favorite books was, and I answered The Art of War.
Hmm.
And it's actually great. It's less about war, and it's actually more about how you avoid conflict, you know, by being prepared ahead of time.
Right.
So it's pretty great.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, if you want to go back to favorite book of all time, and I look at everything I ever read, I'll probably hearken back to when I was really young, and I read the whole The Hobbit and then The Lord of the Rings series.
Oh, yeah.
And I just loved it. It was one of those things that kind of changed how I viewed fiction writing.
All right, here's a controversial question. Scrappy or lucky? I'm totally kidding. You don't have to say it.
First of all, I think every university has room for a mascot and an alternative mascot.
Yes.
But I love Scrappy.
Yes. Not Who doesn't love Scrappy? And Lucky's, of course, you know, we got to love Lucky as well. Do you have any pets?
No. We had a puppy who died at 18.
Oh.
About a year and a half ago.
Oh, okay.
About a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
It was very sad, and we haven't recovered yet.
Oh, yeah.
She lived with us, got her in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Lived through Vegas and here.
That's a long time for a dog. That's a long life.
Yeah, kind of a Australian silky terrier mix.
Aw. You think maybe you'll have room for another one?
I'm rooting for one. Yeah. I want one of the doodles. I'm not sure which one. I would love one. But I think, you know, especially with traveling and everything, sometimes it's hard. And I want to make sure a dog has the attention it needs.
That's right.
Because after all, they're very close to people.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Coke or Dr. Pepper?
Oh, Coke.
Okay.
Diet Coke.
Oh,
that's and such a good not Coke Zero. Diet
Regular.
Coke.
Oh, Diet Coke. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We're particular about that. Okay. All right. We talked a little bit about this too. Star Wars or Star Trek?
Oh, Star Wars.
Yes. 100%. All right. What is your biggest fear?
I'm not a fearful person in general.
Yeah.
I've done all kinds of crazy things that have resulted in many broken bones in my life. So clearly I haven't learned a lot of lessons.
You don't seem to be scared of animals too. You've taken a lot of pictures of wild animals.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
I guess my biggest fear is that I let down the people around me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that we don't do well. That we don't, the university doesn't perform well.
Right.
And so I would hate to not be good at what we do.
Yeah.
And of course, I always have fear for the safety and security of, you know, my family.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, here's a fun one and ended on. Who played Batman the best?
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to remember his name right now. The guy who did Beetlejuice. What's his name? Help me.
Michael Keaton. There we go.
I don't know why I really liked him. Yes. And I know there's great Batmans and there's a whole... I mean, we could say... I just think Michael Keaton brought a really weird little... ironic twist.
And Jack Nicholson too, paired with him as the Joker, I think.
Yes, Jack Nicholson was awesome.
Yes, he was. And then I just watched that recently, and the whole soundtrack done by Prince, that's the best.
Yeah.
So that's a good answer.
Prince, awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you, Dr. Smatras, for coming in and interviewing with us today. We really appreciate it. Everybody thanks you. We're going to miss you as president, but we are so honored that you're staying around and we get to see you. And I hope you have a wonderful rest of your week.
Well, I thank you, Christiana. It's been a pleasure working with you.
Oh, thank you.
And again, this is the kind of, we're going to all have to get together. Because I will miss you all.
Yes. Yeah. Go to one of those favorite spots in Denton and show us some of the food around here.
So, there you go.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow. Keaton, huh? I'm a bail guy myself, but I guess reasonable people can disagree on these things.
That's okay, Scott. You're allowed to be wrong.
Yeah. Keaton for life.
That's right.
All right, well, I'm clearly outnumbered, so I'm going to slowly back away from the Batman debate and just say thank you for bringing us that interview, Christiana.
Of course. Like I said, I was really so excited to get to do this for the podcast. It was so fun.
Yes, we always try to have some fun on the pod. And now it's time for our super fun Q&A. We were going to drop in one of our pre-recorded segments, but with Christiana joining us today, we thought we'd invite you to get in on the fun.
Absolutely. Let's get into it.
All right. Well, in honor of all of our students who are graduating this weekend and will soon be embarking on new career paths, our question today is, what advice would you have for someone who's about to enter the workforce?
I think that our graduates and our students have an amazing opportunity with the Career Center and the career coaches that have been implemented at UNT. That's something that I wish that I would have had when I went to college. And just because you're graduating doesn't mean that you don't have access to these things. So you can take advantage of it. The Alumni Association network, get integrated with different industries and different people. I think that's my best advice. Stay connected to the university. Use the resources available at the Career Center and through your career coaches and your advisors, and really just kind of, you know, get to know all different kinds of industries, all different kinds of people, and that will help you along your path.
Yeah, networking is always good.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia, what do you got?
I would say to keep your LinkedIn up to date and to be consistently connecting with fellow peers in your field, just to kind of be aware of what's going on in the industry. And yeah, I feel like that's helped me in my post-grad life.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I don't know. Based on the jobs I've had, I would say my best advice would be try to be picky if you can. I know that's kind of a privileged thing to say. And, you know, sometimes you just need a job and you got to take what you can get. But if you can get kind of a vibe check of the place, if, you know, make sure you vibe with the manager and the culture. The culture's super, super important. I've had a job that, you know, wasn't a good culture fit for me, and it was really bad for me mentally and physically. So yeah, that'd be my biggest advice. Like, try to be picky, try to make sure it's a good fit, and don't settle if you don't have to. Sometimes you have to and you just need the paycheck, but be picky when you can.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I think that was good advice all around. But listeners, if you have any career advice you'd like to share with our new grads, email us at podcast@unt.edu. or call us at 940-565-4341.
Yeah, let us know your best tips, and maybe we'll share them on the next episode with our great grad stories. That's going to do it for this episode. So until next time, Christiana, you want to do the honors?
We hope you have a happy Friday, North Texas.
And go Mean Green.
Happy Friday, North Texas is a production of the University of North Texas. Today's show was produced and edited by Scott Brown with original reporting by Christiana Flores. For more information, visit unt.edu/podcast.
That's right. We've got an extended interview with Dr. Neil Smotresk.
You did it, though.
No way.
You did it.
That was right.
Is there a way? Is there a way to like cut right there before I clap my hands? Can I just say Dr. Neil Smotresk?
I don't know, Alicia. Can you? Definitely recording all this typing.
Christiana.
She's so scared. She's got PTSD now.
I can't do it. I'm sorry, Neil.